my ending will tie into Cable's beginning there. This was actually from an article that I read here this week out of Sound Mind Investing called A Dida Day, The Practice of Celebration by John Ortberg. And essentially what it talks about is it's a lament over, I guess they have some practice in his family when he's giving everybody else kids baths that some of them will dance around and, you know, and of course the way we are as adults, we get into a hurry sometime and we miss the joy in the moment. We're always needing to get something done, like, you know, one of my sons comes running and, "Dad, I just got five three-pointers in a row." That's what I meant to say. And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, that's great. I got to get doing this report that's got to be in." So, what keeps us from experiencing joy is our own preoccupation with self. Lewis Smedes puts it this way: to miss out on joy is to miss out on the reason for your existence. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." True celebration is the inverse of hedonism. Hedonism is the demand for more and more pleasure, for more personal gratification. It always follows the law of diminishing returns, so that what produced joy yesterday is no longer does it today. It escalates. Our capacity for joy diminishes. Celebration is not like that. When we celebrate, we exercise our ability to see and feel goodness in the simplest gifts of God. We are able to take delight today in something we wouldn't have noticed yesterday. I know Cindy's not here. I noticed that in Cindy. She always gives glory for those little things in nature that she sees. So how do we pursue joy? In Psalm 118:24, this is the day, I guess I've got to say, the first thing we need to do is start today, start now. The psalmist says in 118:24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This day, with all its shortcomings, is the great Dida Day. Find a person who, another way we can do this is we find a person that demonstrates joy and tell them that we are trying to break out of our joy-impaired condition. Begin to pray together that the Spirit will produce the fruit of your life in greater abundance. Another person I thought of that exemplifies this to me is Dusha Ham with the Ashton Care Center. She's always joyful, and I think I can learn a lot from that. Another thing, reflect on what a gracious God He is to have thought of these gifts. Take the time to experience and savor joy. Then direct your heart toward God so that you come to know He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. James 1:17. Nothing is too small if it produces true joy and causes us to turn toward God in gratitude and delight. How is this possible to become a joyful person in the pain-filled world? Look at the promise that comes right near the end of the Bible. Revelations 19:7. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Heaven's groom gets the bride. That's what happens in the end. We can certainly be joyful for that. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Let us pray. Lord, help us to relish in the blessings that You bestow on us daily, that You provide for us in Your nature and in nature around us. Let us rejoice, for this is the day that You have made. Amen.